Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 118, the Back from Cincy episode. Cincy as in Cincinnati. My mom and I went to the Cincinnati International Quilt Festival last week. In fact, it was a week ago today, Thursday. Today is Thursday, April 19th. A week ago today, I drove to Louisville. Spent the night with my parents, and then the next morning, my mom and I drove over to Cincinnati, kind of, I guess, over and up, I don't know, and had a great time. And in fact, the first quilt diary is our discussion of the great time we had. And then there's another quilt diary, and in fact, we've got a lot of stuff, so I want to make this introduction brief. But I do want to thank everyone who commented on the last episode and even got some comments on the episode before that. Got a really nice comment from Carol on episode, actually 116, the March Madness episode. And she just said, you have really grown as a quilter in the years that I've been listening. And Carol, thank you. That means a lot to me. I think I have too. Jay, my friend over at Art Quilt Maker, who also is my teacher, has said this similar things. And, you know, I feel like I have. I'm trying to, this is really silly, but I'm like, have I been doing this podcast for 2 years now? Or, three. I think it's two. I think this is, I think we're about to celebrate my second anniversary. And if that's true, I really have come a long way from the quilts I was making back then. But maybe it's 3 years. I have to check on that. Oh my goodness. I'm old. My brain is just, wow. I heard from Terry, heard from who I'm always so happy to hear from. Thank you, Terry. Heard from AJ Dub. Yay. She said she read The Girl Who Chased the Moon by Sarah Addison Allen and enjoyed it very much. So we're starting a whole Sarah Addison Allen thing. Right now, by the way, I am reading the new Jill McCorkle book called Life After Life. Interesting, there's also a new Kate Atkinson book also called Life After Life. They both came out about the same time, just that zeitgeist kind of thing. Jill's new book is good. I like her. She's a little bit of a family friend. She still publishes with Algonquin. She started with Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill way back in the day when the man was an editor there. But I've always liked, even before I ever met her, and I've only met her a couple times, I've always liked her, and I like this book quite a bit, so I'll let you know when I finish. I've got a lot of books going on, but I don't have time to talk about it. But I am reading something called Present Shock, which is very interesting, nonfiction about how our world is really changing because of all this technology we have. I'll talk to you more about it soon. Heard from Laura, who gave me a link to Carol Doak's paper piecing method. Thank you. And Laura and my mom also gave me a DVD when I went to her house, which does work on my computer. We were a little concerned about that. So I'm going to figure this paper piecing thing out. I promise with Jay's help, I will make it happen. Heard from Very Lazy Daisy, who just posted a new episode. So go listen to Daisy. She is fabulous. And heard from Tori. Yay, Tori, coming down second weekend in May. Let's get together. Heard from A.G. Lindsay. Oh, and this is interesting. She mentions a new Barbara Brackman blog called grandmotherschoice.blogspot.com, and I checked it out. Really cool. It's about women's suffrage. Very, very cool link. So thank you very much, A.G. Lindsay, for mentioning that. Let's see. Heard from Kelly the Fifth, and I know I'm kind of looking at, we're just going fast. I don't have time. Everyone, I love you. Thank you for commenting. Heard from Quilt and Jenny. Yay, Quilt and Jenny, who agreed with me, the Amy of the advice column world person, yes, who I talked about, I think last episode, maybe the episode before that. But anyway, who, yes, if you recall, if you don't recall, go back and listen. She agrees with me. We both think she bombed with her advice to the quilter, who was a little upset because her daughter-in-law was like really uncool in her acceptance of the gift. Heard from Sarah, formerly of Stash Resolution. I heard from a couple of my favorite former podcasters, like Sarah and Allison. And anyway, Sarah's coming this way in the summer and wanted to know about what she should see. And then she gave me some great Cincinnati advice. Thank you, Sarah. It was good, great to hear from you. I know you're very busy, but I hope one day you will podcast again. heard from Dorothy, and who turned me on to the latest American Patchwork and Quilting Mag. You know, I don't buy quilting magazines, but of course I went out and bought that because it is about color, and I am thinking a lot about color. Heard from Darlene from Gleska Gal, who had good comments about the Amy, the Dear Amy column that had incensed me so and reminded me that there is a new Foils War. And also wanted to know if I had tried Mr. Selfridge. It's on PBS. I just saw this. It's on PBS online, but I could not get the first episode to load, so I need to try again. And by the way, second season of Call the Midwife online right now on PBS online, so go watch it. And then heard from Allison from Within a Quarter Inch, who is so fabulous, and I wish would be podcasting. If you are podcasting, let me know, because I haven't heard that you are. I know you're really busy. People get so busy, and I understand, especially when people have really small children or even medium-sized children. Life is busy. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for your comments. I really appreciate them. Give me a come over, see my pictures from Cincinnati over at my WordPress site, which is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. Leave a comment, say hi. If you want to email me, do so at F as in Francis Dowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at nc.rr.com. I'd love to hear from you. And now we're going to get on with the Quilt Diaries. Okay, well, I'm recording. So, Quilt Diary, day one. It's Saturday. I have no idea what. April 13th? April 13th. We're in the car. We're me and Jane, aka Mom, or Mom, aka Jane. I don't... One of those.
Yes.
And we're coming back from Cincinnati, driving to Louisville, and we thought we would talk about our experience at the quilt show. Mom, how was your experience at the quilt show?
My experience at the quilt show was just fine. I had a very good time. I enjoyed mostly being with you. And the two classes were fun. I think I liked the second class on the strip piecing and making a different way of making half square triangles in preparation for making the Lady of the Lake quilt. We had an excellent teacher there, Debbie Caffrey.
Caffrey,
I think.
Yeah, because I think of Sean and Lisa McCaffrey.
Yes. So that was very good. I thought the show was run very well. There, I don't know how many women were there, but surely it was like 1,000 at lunch, and yet the lines were for lunch. It was a food court, so you chose what you wanted to eat and stood in line, but the lines were moved so quickly, and then there were plenty of places to sit. So I was impressed with that. I wasn't real impressed with some of the volunteers who couldn't answer the simplest questions.
Right.
But
and we think that they were convention center workers who just sort of been posted. So, and I think they were like, yeah, here's the convention. Other than that, I have nothing to offer you.
Where is the information booth? Well,
sort of, it might be that way.
It might, on the other hand.
It could be the other way.
So, certainly that did not detract from the overall enjoyment of the experience. So everybody was very friendly, and of course lots of things to buy, but you got what you wanted. I really wasn't looking for anything in particular, so I don't know that I bought anything.
Neither of us bought fabric, which I know will be shocking to some of you, but it was, we were both easily overwhelmed shoppers, and every fabric booth was just so crowded, and it wasn't, you know what surprises me is you kind of feel like you would get deals.
I didn't see too many deals.
No, the $3 fat quarters.
Yeah, I can do better than that. I think I paid $1.80 for my solids, you know, the fat quarters that we needed for our color class. I saw some really ugly fat quarters. Mostly, they were all, the ones left were dark green or black. Not that that in and of itself is ugly, but that's what they had, and I think they were $1.50, but that wasn't very enticing.
No, so I bought stencils. There was a great shop, and when I get home, or at some point I will tell you what the website, if you're interested in getting stencils, if you're interested in doing your own quilting. And I bought about $30 worth of stencils, which was a lot of stencils because they weren't that expensive, but that was exciting for me since I'm working a lot on my machine quilting to have good stencils to work with.
That was a good thing, to be able to see them and hold them and rather than buying them online.
And also just having such a wide variety, because Joann's will have stencils, but they usually have about four different kinds. And it turns out there is a difference between stencils for machine quilting and stencils for hand quilting. And I'm not quite sure what that difference is, except I heard one of those salespeople talking about that, and I showed her what I'd gotten, and one of them was a hand quilting stencil. It was what I had thought was a border stencil. It was a long, narrow vine. Uh-huh. And one of them is continuous line and the other is not. So I'll have to look into this. We may be about to hear our the lady of the car. No, she did not give us directions. My mom has, what is that called? GPS?
A navigator. Which we can actually turn off now because I know where I am.
But one of the things, and we have to say that we met the wonderful Chris Kaufman and her husband, Barry.
Very nice people.
Very nice. Chris is a listener, and we email back and forth periodically. She's also a librarian in Ohio, and so we've got the book thing in common as well as the quilt thing. And she knew I was coming, and so I sent her my number, and she called me, and she and Barry were in town for their son's wedding reception. Their son had just been married in Ireland, and now we're having the wedding reception in Cincinnati. So that was great. We had a lot of fun talking with Chris and Barry. So that was a highlight. One of the things that was interesting to me, and I think to my mom as well, is that the show itself, lots of beautiful quilts. I would say 90% art quilts.
It was a very high percentage. We really had to kind of search for more traditional quilts, which I know I was interested in traditional quilts because they're the kind I make, but I wanted to see what it looks like when they're made really, really well.
Exactly.
And they were in the minority.
I mean, there were eight.
No,
I didn't count. But there were no more than 10. And even among those, there were some that were actually not as traditional. But as far as traditional patchwork, there were very few. All the quilts there were beautiful. So, I mean, I loved the art quilts. It wasn't like, wow, terrible art quilts. They were beautiful art quilts. But I would have loved to have seen more traditional, more patchwork quilts, and I don't know why we're not. Why is that not? I mean, because my guess is that 90% of the quilts there were art quilts, 90% of the quilters were probably traditional quilters. So, you know, why not more traditional quilts? I don't know. If you know, write in and tell us. There was a display of modern quilts, which I enjoyed and also thought was very smart. Because we saw today, I thought there were more younger women there today.
Yeah, probably women who work during the week and then were free to come.
Right, on a Saturday.
On a Saturday.
And some of us, like me, I work. And
that's right,
I work. But I kind of work where you can go, hey, I'm going to go to the quilt show for a couple of days. Someone keep the typewriter warm while I'm gone. But Yeah, so I did, and we looked, we walked around with Chris and Barry looking at the modern quilts, and Mom and I did take the color theory for modern quilters, although neither of us would call ourselves modern quilters. And I thought it was a good class. It was fun. We got to play with color. I think we both agree we would actually like to have had more theory than we did. I think that it was taught by Heather Jones, who was lovely and wonderful. And if you go on to Craftsy and go to the QuiltCon lectures, she gave a lecture about where she finds her design ideas in nature. And she was delightful. I think she wanted to be very supportive of people's color choices, and so did not offer. What we did is we sewed together. Everyone brought fat quarters that we cut into strips, and we sewed strips together. And she redistributed strips, and you could go around and shop other people's fabrics. And it was a lot of fun, and it was neat to see what people did. But
another thing that was interesting there was. In each of our classes, we used a different brand of sewing machine. And in that class, we used Janome sewing machines. And there was a Janome salesperson there to support us as well as to sell sewing machines. Well, she had very strong opinions on color. And I was dithering, and because I hadn't really liked the colors I had chosen to bring, I didn't really care for them in the first place. And so
I didn't pick colors that I absolutely loved. I just wanted to bring strong colors. So mine were jewel tones. I went to Thimble Pleasures and went to the Kona Solids and picked out really strong colors. Yeah. And then I realized I could have picked out colors that I liked more. But I mean, and I didn't dislike these, but they're not my go-to.
Well, and I picked out really wimpy colors. Lilac, mute, I guess, Easter egg colors, yellow and lilac and peach. I mean, anyway, I was... But the nice Janome lady, I was having problems, and she came up and hadn't sewn my strips together, and she showed me how she thought the peach was entirely wrong, and if you put it on one side, it was better, and so I took all that in and thought about it, and I thought, well, if I'm going to learn anything, I should do it the way I'm inclined to do it, and then find out what Heather Jones thinks is wrong with it. And I don't think she really thought anything was wrong. But that was, in a way, she was so kind to us all.
Yes.
There were times, even it was surely with my own, that I would have liked her to say, the reason this doesn't work is...
Yeah.
This and thus, and of course she really didn't want to do that, so it was fun, but
My theory is I think she's in her early mid-30s, I would say, so I think she's of a generation where it's very much we don't judge, and we're like, Heather, judge, it's like, and everybody else in the class was like,
Carol, the Janome lady judged.
But, you know, she judged, but then she wouldn't tell you. It's like, well, why? Why do you think that? And then she kept saying, well, and it's, you know, do what you want to do. It's like, if you want me to do what I want to do, then go away. But you've been standing here for five minutes telling me that. I was like, but it's like, yeah, what you're saying is that then it's just your preference. And what we think is why we took this class is because we want to have some criteria that's helpful. For me, the class was good, and that it was good to play and just go, you know what, I'm going to use this time. I don't like yellow. I'm going to take this yellow strip and build around it. And I had my color tool. I didn't have my color wheel, which I wish I had, but I had the tool, and that was useful. And so I was looking, it's like, all right, okay, what's the analogous color? What's the complementary color? And, you know, so that was good. And you could say, well, you could have done that on your own at home. And I could have, but I would not have. You know, I wouldn't have. Wouldn't have just played like that, so, and it, you know, and it was nice, and everybody was very nice and having fun. So
well, I learned one thing in particular that was surprised how my peachy orange turned out to be really a good color. I don't particularly care for orange. I like coral. But this color just seemed to go with everything. But my new color theory is, as I'm going to take my iPhone and I'm going to take pictures of the Vera Bradley bags that I like, and that's how my new color scheme is going to be devised.
Yes.
Because Vera has a good eye for color.
Vera does have a good eye for color. You could really learn a lot. You could just, they sell her bags at the Hallmark store, so you could go to the mall with your iPhone and just stand there very discreetly taking pictures of the Vera. Yes.
Well, what I have trouble with color is if you have a quilt that's going to have 6 or 7 colors, and I maybe can pick out 4, but it's these little supplemental colors that I often just have to ask for help.
Yes. Yeah, I think I'm that way too. I can get about 4 on my own, and then I'm at a loss, or at that point just overwhelmed by choosing things. So it does wear you out. So then, but today's class, you know, the funny thing about today's class is I thought we were going in to learn to make a block, the Lady of the Lake block, which I really like. But it really was a technique class, and I was thrilled because it was for making half square triangles.
In a different way,
using fat quarters and cutting strips on the bias. Right? That's what.
Were they on the bias?
I think they were. They were stretching. And for this class, we had the faff, is that right?
Faff.
I did not like the faff. I like saying faff more than I like saying faff. I did not like it. One thing, the quarter inch foot did not have a little wall.
Flange.
It did not have a flange. My mother's informed me this is called a flange. It was flangeless. And I need flange. I need something. I need more guidance than what this had to offer me. But also because these strips were on the bias, they were stretchier. You know, so then the flange is especially helpful because I found that a little problematic. But anyway, you do this, and there's a certain way you cut everything out, and you mix and match, and then you sew the strips together, and then you cut it, and it's neat, and you end up with accurate half square triangles. We were doing 2.5 inch, so we did not make the block, but we could have, you know, and somebody actually did. This one, her name was Martha from Ohio, and she was very cool. She was older, and I ironed with her a couple times, and she was of good cheer. She knew what she was doing. She was having fun, and she made a block, and it looked really cool.
Our teacher was, Heather Jones, the color teacher, was very friendly. And
helpful and kind. We loved her.
Yes, we did. And the teacher for the, who's for the Lady of the Lake, but making a new way to make accurate half square triangles of any size.
Yes.
There's this her way. You can make them any size. You just follow the directions, and we got those. But she demonstrated things over and over. She came to each one of us. And
so she demonstrated for the whole class, and then she would go around.
And then we all had forgotten.
Debbie.
she was an excellent teacher. I mean, her subject was different, obviously, than Heather Jones, and it could be taught. She taught it in the very most professional way, and I finished some things, but I think I have enough to finish the rest on my own. But she was a very experienced teacher.
Yes, she was, and you could tell, and she had a good manner, she had a nice sense of humor, she was a good speaker. She was very clear in her instructions.
Voice carried. It was pleasant, but it carried.
And she did a good, she was teaching tips. She has a different way, or her has a way of like holding the ruler that she thinks is safer. And I tried it. It's sort of like the Spock, live long and prosper. I can't explain it, but she's very big on move your mat, not your fabric. And so,
yeah.
And I'm left-handed, and at first I thought, oh no, this is, but
it
she came.
I
didn't, and she's like, no, just do this and do that, and I finished. I made a lot of blocks. I'm getting better, I think, because usually in classes, I'm not taking a 10, but I'm like, I'm the one who's like bringing up the rear. But
I'm the one failure in the sewing class because I'm so used to sewing by myself in a quiet place that kind of goes against me, and then. It just takes me a while to get it, I think. You know, it may not be brain surgery or rocket science, but...
I think it took a number of people a while to get it. You got further ahead. There were people who were not even to the cutting stage by the end of the class. There were people who had mis-sewn their strips.
That's right.
Because there's an order you have to do it, and Mom brought painter's tape, which turned out to be very convenient because we just stuck tape on our strips and numbered them. And
that was a big help.
And so you got farther along. There were a number of people who were confused.
Well, I think that the reason that I got as far as I did, and maybe I think you did this too, when we finished one step, we would call Debbie, and she'd get us started on the next, because at one point I was on my way to disaster, but I didn't get very far because I realized I didn't know what I was doing, and so she came over, and I started numbering my strips, and then I understood that step, and so then I executed that, and then I made sure at every step I knew what I was doing.
And it was smart that you called Debbie, because you would ask me, because I was probably one step ahead of you, and I would show you the left-handed way to do it, which was not the way you as a right-hander should be doing it, and then Debbie would come over and show you the right-handed way of doing it. That's, one of the few times that the left-handed thing has actually... You know, even when I took the quilt school one over at Thimble Pleasures, it was just when everyone else was straightening their fabric one way, or doing the what do you call that? When you line up your fabric and straighten up the edge. I was just had to do it from the other side, and the teacher would just go, oh, okay, well, Frances, you do it this way. But it was not wildly confusing, but this in some ways was more confusing as a left-handed person. So... but it was a very satisfying class, because you felt like I felt, and this is what I wrote on my evaluation, that I had left with a skill that I can use in all kinds of projects. That it's not isolated to this class. It's not just for a particular quilt. Because good Lord, I spent half my life making half square triangles.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
Well, it's just such an important part of quilting. I mean. And it makes such a difference in a quilt, where you've got to have the good contrast, and you can change the way a quilt looks by the way you do your hat, the coloration. Excuse me, I've got to get over the way.
Okay.
Thank you. You can take that out.
Okay. No, that gives it.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be able to make half square triangles. To make any interesting kind of quilt, patchwork quilt.
Yeah.
And believe me, I have tried a lot of different ways, and I still have a lot of trouble making half square triangles.
Well, I'm getting better because I do it all the time, and I've tried a lot of different ways. And but I felt this way, the other way that I've done it where it's very accurate is to cut big and then cut down, but that's very time consuming. And in fact, doing the half square triangles now, I've gotten some 2.5 inch wide strips, and I've just gone, okay, that's what I'm going to use. And they're not the half square triangles are not quite as accurate as the ones where I cut down, but it's so much faster than cutting down. But this way, I think once you got the hang of it, you know, and sort of it became the way that Debbie taught us today, once you got the hang of it,
yeah,
I think it, you could do it very quickly, and they're very, very accurate. And the other thing I wanted to say, to me, it's like I've always wanted to take a class in using a ruler, because I don't understand what all those lines are for. And today was one of the first times where I used a, we had to straighten up on the 45 degree angle. You know, we had to use that line as a tool, or to cut when we were cutting. We had to align a certain part of the block with that. I was like, wow, I'm actually using one of the lines on the ruler.
Yeah.
One of the diagonal lines.
Yes.
So that was very exciting because for a long time.
Excuse me.
Yes, there's a truck that's being. Just you stay over truck.
Yeah.
You're going 5 miles an hour. You don't need to be pulling into the left lane. Hello. I smiled at him.
It's very dangerous to do other than smile.
Yes, we're nice to the truckers, but we talk mean behind their backs.
I don't know, unless they listen to your podcast.
Yes, which is very likely. Well, Mom, to wrap up,
how would you
wrap up?
Oh, well, one thing, and you can take this out if you don't want to do it, but we did take a couple of pictures. At the quilt show, Chris, Missy's librarian, Francis's, as you may have, I'm trying to be good, but as you probably know, Missy is her family name.
I think they do.
Yeah. But Chris took a picture of us together at a quilt that we thought my granddaughter, Missy's niece, would like. They had yo-yos, and Gabby likes to make yo-yos. And then I had a quilt that I particularly liked, and a stranger took a picture of me. Anyway.
Which quilt was that?
Oh, it was the one that had the very, almost, they weren't all primary colors, but the background, what you could see of it, was black.
Uh-huh.
And a very nice lady took a picture of me in front of that quilt, and then I took a picture of it too, so you don't have to see me more than once.
To me, and then I will have
that perhaps your podcasting friends would like. And then I took a picture of Francis in front of a favorite modern quilt.
Well, it's more of an art quilt, the Prairie Fire, which I really, that was a really beautiful landscape.
I'm just saying that if you think anyone would be interested, I will send those pictures to you to put on your WordPress site.
That sounds good, because I don't have any pictures of anything else. And I did not take pictures. I was very glad that we were able to get pictures of me and Mom and me and Chris. Because in the past, I've gone to quilt shows, and you can't stop taking pictures. There's so much great stuff that it almost, to me, becomes... And I don't look at them later, for the most part. I mean, I looked at the pictures from the Mid-Atlantic Quilt Show, but, I looked at them once and thought, oh, that was really nice. But it's just too... I'd rather just be with the quilt and be one with the quilt than actually take a picture of the quilt. So, but I'm glad we got a picture of the Prairie Fire quilt, because I really, really love that quilt. But so I thought it was a good experience. I thought it was a very well-run show. Thought there needs to be more traditional quilts. Wish we had time to take more classes, because I really enjoy the classes. And it makes me want to see what classes Thimble Pleasures is offering, and to take more classes in general, because they're just, both of them were, I thought, really fun and useful and enjoyable. So, is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I just say that it's always fun to talk with you on your podcast, and I thank you for inviting me again.
I think it's a highlight for my listeners. They always like hearing from you. They always do. So Cincinnati International, was it the International Quilt, Cincinnati International Quilt Festival, 2013, I have a tote.
Yes, and there is this group, which is a different group from the group that's putting on the show in Paducah in a couple weeks. Anyway, this group, I believe, is doing another show in Chicago in June. For those of you who live in that area, you might look out for that. It was amazing to me how many women came. There were women from Wisconsin and
Canada.
Debbie Caffrey was our teacher this morning, was from New Mexico.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Have to read the name tag.
There was someone from Oklahoma and Oregon and Texas, and yeah, there were people. I mean, most you would see Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, which makes sense, but there were people from all over.
Yes.
It was neat. It was very neat. So we enjoyed it, and who knows where we'll go next.
Yes, maybe Wilmington.
Maybe Wilmington. There's a big show in Wilmington in May that I don't think we'll go to, but if they have it next year, we might. So
Wilmington, Delaware, or Wilmington?
Wilmington, North Carolina. Yes, that's right. So if we go, you'll hear about it. All right, signing off till next time.
Bye-bye.
Quilt Diary, Day 2. It's Wednesday, April 17th. I'm sitting on my porch. I'm speaking directly into my audio recorder, which is what my mom and I were speaking into. I haven't listened to Quilt Diary Day 1. I hope that all recorded. If not, what I'm saying will make absolutely no sense to you. I am sitting on my porch. It's a beautiful day, and the tree cutting has stopped. We have neighbors, newish neighbors. They moved in, I don't know, maybe last summer. And since that time, on every nice day, they seem to have somebody in their backyard cutting down a tree. Now, we live in a very wooded neighborhood. Our lot is the least wooded lot, and that is because the people we bought it from were gardeners, as are we, and so they cut down a lot of trees. We still only get probably 6 hours of full sun, but that is enough. We get a big tomato crop, big bean crop. So anyway, I understand the desire to deflock or deforest or whatever it is they're doing, but man, they started this in the fall. The man says he can't figure out what it is they're doing. He thinks maybe they're putting a playground in their backyard. They do seem to have children. Right now I'm just trying not to be passive aggressive and put like some email on the listserv about how every nice day is spoiled by the sound of trees being sawed to their deaths. I mean, if it really bugs me, I should go say something. But the fact is, it is America. It's their property. While they, I'm sure, are away at work and not working at home, as some of us do, you know, if they want to have all the trees on their lot cut down, well, you know, more power to them. We actually, when we moved in, had a couple trees cut down. But that is because in our old house, we had a tree fall on our house during a big ice storm. During the big ice storm of 2002, Will was maybe 6 weeks old, and there's ice storm, and I was so awakened in the middle of the night by the sound of an explosion, which turned out to be a tree falling on our roof. Anyway, so as soon as when we moved into our new house in 2007, we had our tree guy out, and he looked around and suggested we take down a couple trees, which our neighbors right behind us were not happy about, but you know, it's America, it's our property. And now they have a tree, our neighbors behind us, that was hit by lightning last summer, which, as you might imagine, was a loud, loud sound. And the man has suggested to them that perhaps they should take that down, because if it comes down, it's going to come down on our garage. So far, they have not taken him up on that suggestion. I have suggested to him that he suggest it to them again. Anyway, out on my porch, it's rush hour, so you may be hearing the sound of trucks and stuff going by on the main road. We are about two houses off the main road. Our street, once you get a little further down, it's very, not secluded, but hushed. But you can hear a lot of road sounds here, which is fine. I don't mind. Anyway, let me tell you where I am. I've been working on quilting the Irish chain.
and already am revising my quilting plan because I was quilting every block. And if, as you know, with the Irish chain, there's alternate blocks of 9 patch, red and white, and then just a single white block. And I realized, and I'm doing kind of the snowflake design. If you look back a couple episodes ago when I put up pictures of my practice quilting. Whoops, there's Will. Well, I'm sitting here podcasting, so don't think I'm crazy for talking to myself. What? I'm audio recording. Will's come out to practice his pitching. In any event, he's just moving that. And Travis is barking at him. He's moving his pitch back thing. Okay, where was I? Irish chain. Anyway, snowflake. Snowflake. Design. Now I'm not going to bed. I've got to go in the house. So say goodbye to the birds. Goodbye, birds. We'll just sit in the house. And I was doing it every block. But you know what? It didn't look right. It just seemed over quilted. Just seemed wrong. And so I'm now in the process of taking the quilting out of the red and white 9 patch blocks. And I don't know because I'm going to need their gosh, I think they're 6-inch blocks. Is that right? Yeah, I think so. And so I'm going to need some quilting in the red and white 9 patch. But I think I could just do some stitch in the ditch or something. Even X's or something. But I don't know why, but it just didn't look right. The quilting itself, okay, so I'm using the monofilament thread, the clear polyester thread. And I'll tell you what, for some reason, I think I just got my wires crossed. I changed needles and put in a 90 needle. And you know what? And then and the thread just keeps breaking. Now I have got out my Harriet Hargrove heirloom machine quilting book. And I should be using a 75 or 80 needle. So that is the problem. That may be the problem. It may just be this is why polyester thread, monofilament thread has a bad rep. Although I did not have any problems with it when I was sort of stitching in the ditch on my quilt for my quilt class. But I was also using, I think, an 80 needle at that time. So I may have done myself in. To be honest, though, I am so tired of rethreading. And by the way, rethreading monofilament thread is a huge pain in the tuckus. So I am going to, I think, just use white thread because I am going to requilt. I haven't done all the white squares. I've done a number of them. A number of them are really nice and a number of them are not. I got so preoccupied with making sure that I wasn't putting any undue pressure on the needle or the thread, that it made it very hard to be to do a beautiful job on the quilting. Some of the snowflakes are very nice, and others aren't. And I'm just going to redo them. It's not a big deal, and then figure out what to do with the red and white 9 patches. The other thing, and this is a big revelation to me, not to you, because we haven't discussed it. It's been a couple weeks. So I've got Carolyn's green and white quilt. It's up on my board, ready to be quilted. And I've been worried about it because even just doing these snowflake designs on the Irish chain makes me realize I'm still very much a beginner at this. And I know it takes practice and I will get better and better. I know these things, but I look at that green and white quilt. It is such, if I do say so myself, it's a very pretty quilt. Not perfect quilt, not without its flaws, but in fact, it's a very pretty quilt. The pattern is really nice. And I don't know how to quilt it. Now, I just ordered a book about, I don't remember who the author is, and I'm away from my computer. I'm sure it will come up again, and I will tell you about it. But the whole point of the book is figuring out what designs to use when you're quilting your quilt. It takes you through a whole, Q&A. So you've got a quilt, you're ready to quilt it. How do you decide how to quilt it? And it walks you through the process of figuring out the best way to quilt it. And that is looking at the green and white quilt right now. I'm like, I don't know. But I know it's like I'm not quite up to the task of making it what I want. And I had some idea that this weekend I was going to quilt it. I was going to go to Thimble Pleasures. I'm kind of thinking I'm just going to buy a whole length of fabric and do just one, instead of piecing a back, just do a back. And I probably still will do that. For one thing, it's Carolyn, who is a lovely person. I'm not sure she'll really get into the funky pieced back. So I can use that fabric for something else, the leftover strips I have that I was going to piece into a back. But my idea is I'm going to go to Thimble Pleasures, buy the fabric for the backing, as well as buying fabric for the quilt for Beth, who is the administrative assistant. And I still plan on doing that, at least buying Beth's fabric. But you know what? I'm waiting. I am not. But my idea was then this weekend, and we have a long weekend. The teachers have a work day on Monday. And it's like, oh, I'm just going to quilt Carolyn's quilt. But you know what? I'm like, no. I have got like 6 weeks to do this. It's, you know, I don't have to do it now. I'm not prepared to do it now. I need to study. And it may be that I do something very simple with it. I don't want to just stipple it. But, you know, I've been looking at these books of heirloom quilts and various quilts. It's like I could do some sort of echo pattern. I don't have to do anything radical, and I certainly don't have to do anything that's beyond my abilities right now, you know. But I think I could probably find with study, if I really practice and study between now and say May 15th, I bet I will come up with something that I'm happy with, that I can do, I can practice, etc. So that is my big decision on Carolyn's quilt, that I still have time. I'm going to go ahead and focus on piecing Beth's quilt. I will, of course, finish up quilting the Irish chain quilt, but to hold off just a little bit, because I don't quite know what I'm doing, and I do like Carolyn's quilt very much, and it's a quilt, you know, there's some other quilts that I haven't been 100% happy with my quilting on them, but you know what? The quilt itself was such, the fabric was such. I'm thinking of the quilt I made for my sister-in-law Jessica a year ago that was just all batiks. You know, the quilting wasn't great. I just was really kind of faking it, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't really, it's okay. I visited the quilt last spring. It's okay. The quilting is okay. But also it helps that they're batiks and it's just a lot going on in the quilt. So the quilting is not a feature of it. So that is all my thinking right now. I actually have to go broil some flank steak. I have my Bible study tonight, so it got moved. And so I'm running actually a little late. But I wanted to share these insights with you, because that insight about I can wait to quilt Carolyn's quilt, I can wait a month, and I can learn a lot in a month. And I can certainly study a lot in the month to at least, even if I don't end up doing any amazing quilting, you know, I can figure something that's going to work. Or I could also decide in a month's time, you know what, this one's going to the long armor. Never done it before. I'll ask around, find a good long armor. This one's going to the long armor because it, you know, I want it to be really nicely quilted. So that's what's on my mind. I'm going to actually finish up here because I am going to get this posted tomorrow, this whole podcast thing. I'm back. So thank you for listening. I hope you have a good week. Let me hear from you. Do good work. Make time for yourself. Okay? Go make a quilt. Bye.